Have you ever noticed how there are bits of the Bible that seem to be totally incidental to something far more significant? A verse or two here and there that seem to make us read on pretty quickly so that we can get to the really important stuff. Well, I think Exodus 2, verses 1 to 2 is an example of that. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Anonymous people here. Anonymous people getting married, having a son, in a very simple, matter-of-fact way. As it happens, we later discover that this is actually the couple's third child. But the implication of these opening verses is that the child is the important person here. The child is more important than the parents. It's the child that matters. A fine child whom his mother hid for 3 months. But we're not told the baby's name either. We don't know the parents' names, and we're not told the baby's name either. At least not yet. And even when we are given a name for him a few verses later, we're told it by someone other than his parents. They don't seem to be of any great importance at all. The early stages of his life seem to be of no consequence, apparently. They're just a preamble to a far more important period when he's older. And to add further mystery to the unnamed family of this little boy, when we're told he has an older sister in Exodus 2 verse 4, she's anonymous too. Her baby brother apparently is of greater importance than her as well. Do you know, there are many, many people, probably millions of people down through the generations who have lived in someone else's shadow, who've been made to feel unimportant, whose very existence seems to be an aside to the story of someone far more important and significant than themselves. It happens in families. Sometimes it's only when the well-known, successful, distinguished member of the family dies that people give any thought or recognition to the parents or siblings. It happens in schools. Brothers and sisters of the older brain box or outstanding sports person, musical talent and so on, well, they're often made to feel inferior and mediocre. The ones nobody will remember in years to come. And it happens in church. Unless you're able to be up front, out front, you're made to feel useless, inferior, unimportant. We could be made to feel a nobody very easily, as if we have nothing to offer, as if it's only the great and the good, the movers and the shakers who are of any importance and significance in life. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Countless numbers of anonymous people have made huge contributions to the lives of others and to gospel witness in ways that we would do well to take account of and to learn from in our own circumstances in life. And if anyone teaches us that lesson, it is surely the unnamed mother of Exodus 2. She's very far from being unimportant, insignificant, despite the fact that that's maybe what we take out of those opening verses that mention her. But she provides an incredibly important example for you and me to follow, especially as you piece together what the Bible says about her and how she lived. Let's take a closer look at this unsung hero and see what we can learn from her for our own place in today's world, shall we? Let's start by putting a name to this woman. There's only two verses in the whole of the Bible in which her name appears. Exodus 6:20 tells us Amram married his father's sister Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram lived 137 years. Did you notice the poor sister didn't even get a mention in that? It's just the two boys. And then in Numbers 26, verse 59, we read, the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi, who was born to the Levites in Egypt. To Amram, she bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. Now, names in the Old Testament often describe the character of the person bearing the name. Guided by the Lord, parents, especially believing parents, often choose, and still do today, names that have a significance way beyond what they could possibly know at the time of giving it to their child. And this is true of Jochebed. Her name means the Lord is her glory. She was Jochebed by name and Jochebed by nature. I believe the Lord guided Jochebed's parents to that name because it would perfectly describe the woman she would become in his plans and purposes for the world, not only of her day, but also of our own day. Every day since. The Lord is her glory. Jochebed lived up to her name, not by being a prominent, upfront, outfront leader, a great teacher of the word, an eminent biblical scholar or mover and shaker among God's people in Egypt. Far from it. She lived up to her name in her role as a godly, quiet, brave mother whose life had a tremendous influence and impact on the lives of her children. Not just the one in the basket, but on all three of them. And yet she comes to us out of total anonymity, a Levite woman who gave birth to a son, her youngest. Aaron was 3 years older than Moses, and Miriam, their sister, was older still, possibly 4 years older than Aaron. Miriam was a gifted poet and musician, described in Exodus 15:20 as a prophetess. She was closely involved with her brothers in leading Israel, especially during the final years in Egypt and as they left for the Promised Land. And Micah 6, verse 4, includes her with her brothers as a leader sent by God. She had her failures. Famously, being smitten with leprosy for a week by God because she and Aaron had clashed with Moses about his marriage to a Cushite woman. Jochebed's elder son, Aaron, was Israel's first high priest and the beginning of the Aaronic priesthood, from which, of course, we get the Aaronic blessing. Numbers 6:24 to 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. What a lovely blessing that is. I don't think we use it often enough in the course of worship and indeed our lives together. He was to be a great help to his young brother as his official spokesman. But he was also instrumental in establishing the various practices to be observed in the ceremonial sacrificial system of the Old Testament. Of course, like all of us, and like his sister, Aaron had his own episodes of failure. Most famously, perhaps, the making of the golden calf while Moses was still on Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments from the Lord. But nevertheless, Aaron was a very significant character in the formation of the early nation of Israel. And then there was Moses. One of the greatest national and spiritual leaders the world has ever known. He led Israel out of slavery in Egypt to the very border of the promised land. His relationship with the Lord was profound and deeply personal. So much so that Exodus 33:11 tells us the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And despite the fact that he too was a flawed human being like the rest of us, with episodes of anger and impetuousness, Moses is described in Numbers 12:3 as a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. So you see, the Lord chose all three of Jochebed's children to be involved in leading his people from slavery to freedom, from the land of bondage to the land of promise. Jochebed was a remarkable woman in many ways, a model for all of us, not just for those of us who are mothers. Each of us would do well to build our lives on three C's that are found in her. The first C, conviction. A young woman used that word this morning in the prayer time before the service. Conviction. Her priorities were based on the conviction that God had a purpose for her life and for the life of her child. Conviction rather than convenience. There was no hint whatsoever in Jochebed of anything for a quiet life attitude that so many adopt these days. Self-sacrifice rather than self-preservation. The result of sacrificial love and godly character. As she herself had been growing up, got married and become a mum of three children, a new Pharaoh had come to power in Egypt, a Pharaoh who saw the presence of a huge number of foreigners in his land as an internal threat to his own nation, despite their usefulness as slaves. The days of Joseph were forgotten and a new attitude adopted, leading to intense cruelty and hardship for Joseph's descendants, including not just slavery but genocide by way of a decree that required the death of all newborn Hebrew sons, a decree that had come into effect between the births of Aaron and Moses. Despite that, however, Hebrews 11:23 explains, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now that's God's comment on Amram and Jochebed. His commendation of them. His explanation of their actions. Why did they hide Moses? Because through their close relationship with him, God revealed that there was something very special about their young baby. And his purposes for her son meant that he had a special purpose for her too, to look after him and protect him in the face of grave danger. Which begs another question. How committed are we to doing the same for the children around us today? To impact the lives of the children of our day and generation for the Lord, our own children, our grandchildren, or other people's. How committed are we to that? It's not easy. It's often costly and hard work to be involved with children and young people for God. Just ask the leaders of the Youth Fellowship afterwards who are meeting tonight. But you know, children and young people deserve our spiritual concern. And never forget, the benefits of influencing their young lives for God may well be seen for generations to come. God can change the world through one single life. It could be our child, our grandchild. It could be a child we teach in Sunday school or in GB or in BB or in youth fellowship. A child we child mind or teach in day school. A foster child that we look after, provide a home for. Isn't that amazing? Conviction. Something else that was found in Jochebed and that we'd do well to build into our own lives is her creativity. Instead of taking the path of least resistance, instead of looking for the easy way out, Jochebed acted thoughtfully and deliberately, devising a creative alternative for her situation, prompted by her deep faith in the Lord that transformed danger into advantage. Though she couldn't have known how things would turn out so positively when she first put her plans into action. That, of course, is faith at its very best. She found a way of protecting the life of her young son, making a basket and floating him in the rushes at the side of the river, sending his sister to keep a watchful eye on him. Do you know, I can't help but feel that sometimes it seems as if we have forgotten as Christians how to think creatively, to find sound, proper, helpful, and beneficial alternatives to the challenges we face in life. Instead, we seem to be so very prone to knee-jerk reactions or allowing ourselves to be driven by our feelings and emotions instead of stopping and thinking and praying and being creative. Firing from the hip usually results in greater problems than solutions, more damage than repair. Creativity. And what about Jochebed's confidence? She trusted God more than she feared Pharaoh, and her confidence was richly rewarded. Exodus 2:9 tells us that she was given the chance of nursing and nurturing her own child on behalf of Pharaoh's daughter. Imagine this woman singing her little baby songs of Israel, telling him the stories of the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, before he went to live in Pharaoh's palace. She gave him a grounding in the faith of God's people before he would become involved in the education of Egypt and the false gods that were worshipped there. He knew who the true and living God is. And he came to serve him the rest of his life. Give or take a few years, where he wandered off into a desert and looked after some sheep. Her early influence on her son paid dividends that she could never have foreseen. I wonder, do we share Jochebed's confidence in the Lord? Do we believe him more than we fear anything else this life has to throw at us? When everything around us seems to be falling apart, when we face situations that challenge us, frustrate us, upset us, throw us into turmoil, grief, suffering, ongoing daily struggles, do we believe God more than we fear such things? Do we genuinely believe that, as Paul tells us, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose? Romans 8:28. Just think of how different the world might have been had Moses not been safely delivered from Pharaoh's decree. Jochebed's finger marks have been left on all of history ever since. Will the same be said of any of us? How many lives will we influence for good and for God? The answer depends on how we live our lives right here and now. With the same conviction, creativity, and confidence displayed by Jochebed, stemming from her deep personal faith in the Lord, the sky's the limit. What an example for us to follow. The example of this incredible unsung hero, this unnamed mother of Exodus 2. Let's follow her example in the hope and indeed expectation that we too can make a real difference in the lives of the people around us, young and not so young alike. A difference that will last not just for time, but for eternity. Let's pray together for a moment.